From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney. Last week, an anonymous, crowdsourced list of Alaskans accused of abuse started circling on social media. The list's creators said they were adding people accused of domestic violence or sexual assault, but there was almost no proof offered and few specific allegations, just names on a spreadsheet. They say they're trying to bring some accountability to abusers in Alaska, but advocates and law enforcement say this type of vigilante justice may not be the best way to do that. On November 4th, a woman in Anchorage went public on social media with an allegation of rape. Another woman chimed in, saying she'd been assaulted by that person, too. Other people started sharing their stories, and soon at least four Twitter accounts were asking for names and tweeting them out to the public. By the end of the week, someone published a spreadsheet of those names, and it grew fast. At last count, there were more than 500 people on it. Now the list is private, and no one really wants to talk publicly about their role in creating it. Not only are they being targeted for speaking out, there's the risk of being sued. In Alaska, more than half of women will experience intimate partner violence, sexual violence, or both in their lifetimes. Mandy Cole, who runs Juno's Domestic and Sexual Violence Shelter, says a list like this can be a way for survivors to take control. She says once you've lost control over your own body, filing a police report and getting a medical examination comes at a high price.
The idea of then subjecting yourself to kind of more trauma in order to get a result of just being believed and heard is hard.
She doesn't know who made the list, but she thinks it's more about catharsis for survivors of abuse than it is about punishment for people named on it. People sometimes rely on a whisper network in situations where they can't get justice, sharing information between friends and colleagues, warning people away from abusers. Cole says the power of a whisper network is that the people in it know each other, and they know the people they're whispering about well enough that they don't need forensic evidence. That can be really important to a sexual assault survivor, to be taken at their word. When a whisper network goes public, it becomes a weapon, but it can also lose some of its power.
I mean, I think that's how our culture decided to solve this issue, is that once it's in the public sphere, it has to be about things that you can prove.
Either way, Cole and others say this spreadsheet is a symptom of a much larger problem. The majority of sexual assaults are never reported to the police, and every year, hundreds of thousands of instances of domestic violence go unreported nationwide. And when those cases are reported,
just a fraction of that is actually even prosecuted successfully.
That's Lieutenant Craig Campbell with the Juneau Police Department. He says there can be real value in reporting something, even if it doesn't get prosecuted right away. It starts to build a record, and that record can come up during background checks. An officer in the Juneau Police Department was named on the list, but like many of the other names, there is no explanation as to why he's included, no proof of a crime. Campbell says that officer went through a background check to get on the force, and that investigation didn't turn up any allegations or rumors.
Could it still be like things are out there? You know, there's always a chance, but we just don't have any information to go off of, and our plan is to at least look into it.
Campbell says he looked at the list, but he wouldn't say if he talked to the officer about it. He called it a personnel matter. But he says he takes these types of allegations seriously, and they'll investigate it to the extent that they can. He says anyone who has more information or an allegation against another person should make a report. If that person doesn't want to go to Juneau Police, he suggests calling another law enforcement agency or a shelter to find an advocate to help with that process. In any case, Campbell says he's cautious of an unsubstantiated list of allegations because he's dealt with instances of false reporting throughout his career. Data shows that it's really not common for people to falsely report rape or sexual violence. The National Sexual Violence Resource Center estimates the rate of false reporting at somewhere between 2 and 10% of cases. Isaac Weber says he is that outlier. He found out from an ex-girlfriend that his name was on the list. He says his stomach dropped. He was upset and scared.
Just being roped in with that made me feel very small in the moment.
He had to talk about why his name was on the list with his mom, his sister, his current girlfriend, and he says he felt hopeless.
Every part of me tells me that they trust me completely and that they know that I would never do this. But that irrational anxiety that just keeps nipping away at my head tells me that everybody kind of believes it. And that's really scary. So just knowing that the people around me could even possibly think that I'm capable of doing something like this. It's hard.
Isaac says that being falsely accused of something is hard, but it doesn't compare to the experience that survivors of violence and sexual assault go through every day. He says he believes he knows who put his name on the list. He shared a screenshot of a text thread appearing to corroborate his account that his name was included as a cruel joke. But he knows that's probably not enough to prove his innocence to people who have never met him. Isaac's mom, Sarah Weber, works in addiction and mental health services. She says it was surreal and difficult to grill her own son about what may have led up to someone putting his name on the list. But she also believes in the list. She says what's unfortunate is that there's a need for a list at all.
The fact that an anonymous list like this, it feels like for some of the women that were posting names on there, it's like their only way to get any sort of justice. And for lack of better words, that sucks. To think that an anonymous Twitter feed is the best that some of these women can get, it is really disheartening. It's really disheartening.
Both Isaac and his mom say if they had seen the list and Isaac's name hadn't been on it, they'd have just assumed everyone on it committed some kind of heinous crime. But that's the tough spot the family is in. They say that they're concerned that the inclusion of names of people who don't belong on the list lessens its impact, but they think there are people on it who deserve to be there.
The discomfort of having their names put on this list versus the discomfort and pain they've caused of real victims is like small potatoes. It's nothing.
If you are a survivor of sexual assault or domestic violence, visit ktoo.org for a list of resources. Juno's cold weather emergency shelter will be at the Resurrection Lutheran Church near downtown. The city's planning commission voted to approve the church's conditional use permit to hold the shelter with some conditions. Last month, St. Vincent de Paul pulled out of its contract to provide the shelter, and that's when the Resurrection Lutheran Church stepped in. Employees at the church have experience working with the unhoused population in Juneau, and without another viable option with such short notice, Karen Laughlin and others at the church felt obligated to step up.
And we knew that their people needed a place to go, and as such, we have been working nonstop to get this process going so that those who are less fortunate than we will be able to have a place to stay and a meal.
People living in the neighborhood surrounding the church said during the Planning Commission meeting that they have concerns. Most were related to safety around the neighborhood for children going to school, people using the night drop at First National Bank, and for residents in the Flats neighborhood. Alicia Bishop called in as a representative of the Harborview Elementary Site Council, which includes parents and teachers at the school. She opposes the shelter location and asked the city to find a different spot.
Our biggest concern is the overlap of students with those exiting the shelter in the mornings, and especially at congregation points such as where school and public bus stops coincide.
Naomi Davidson was conflicted about the proposal. She felt like the proposal was rushed, but says she doesn't want unhoused people to be left out in the cold.
I'm not against it. I'm against the way that this came about so quickly with very little participation and planning to create a whole plan to provide whole services for all of the participants and all of the partners.
Some people suggested having more of a police presence in the neighborhood, but Davidson says she doesn't think that's the answer and doesn't want to criminalize people experiencing homelessness. Other people called in to offer their support. One of them was Denise Scott. She says that people are building up a lot of fear for a problem that doesn't exist.
We need to model for our children, and we should model compassion and love and respect for our fellow human beings instead of treating them poorly and othering them.
Another who gave his support was Jarek Hope Lang, an Indigenous homeowner in the Flats. He says that the concerns people are voicing really come with the territory of being downtown.
And with the recent loss of some Native people in our community, I just think it's really important that we not forget that there needs to be a secondary option, especially with the loss of shelter in the downtown area.
The Planning Commission put conditions on the permit that include improving security and visibility around the church when the shelter can operate, minimum staffing requirements, a phone number for people to contact, and an expiration date for the permit. Now that the church has it, it can start housing people when the weather gets below freezing, which it's forecasted to do for most of the rest of the week. That is the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Rasha McChesney.